Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Don't never stop if you want to be on top. Yeah.
Low waist, fat, fat, baby, tap in.
Oh, yeah. Let's tap in, Freddie. Let's tap in on a Wednesday. Rodney P. Fred Rogan. On a, as Fred calls it, at 440 today. 440-yard dash. But if it's 2 hours, shouldn't it be an 880?
Yeah. Well, no. If an hour is 220, then 2 hours would be 440.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Let's just do this. It's 2 hours. Later this hour, next segment, we're going to play a little Know Your Squad. If you haven't played in a while, today would be the day.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Arizona and welcome on David Vassay as the Dodgers get ready to take on the Reds tonight. Dave, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good. I was doing a lot of driving today, so I tuned in to Phoenix Sports. And even though they beat the Lakers last night, for 2 hours they were complaining that Devin Booker got double teed up and thrown out of the game. It's like, you won the game. Why are you talking about this?
Well, I complained not that Devin Booker got kicked out.
Fred did the same thing for the first 15 minutes.
No, but my point is this, Dave. I'm sick of all the whining, and I was pointing the finger more at the Lakers. Stop throwing your arms up in the air and complaining about everything. It's a bad look.
Yeah, well, LeBron James is the captain of that.
Yeah, he is. So stop. I know. He's the king. He's the
savior. The leader.
Stop.
Yeah, he does it more than anybody in the league, right?
Yeah.
Him and Chris Paul complain more than any two players I have seen in NBA history.
No, well, you're missing one.
Who's that?
And I'll tell you who it is. Seriously. Tim Duncan. He was the biggest whiner in NBA history. By far.
You're right.
Yeah. The big fundamental used to complain a lot.
Oh, God. It was like, you know, somebody robbed him every game. What? Oh, my God. He threw his arms up in the air and he whined and he bent over. Just a bad look. Okay, Dave. So what do you take now from what happened last night? Walker Buehler looked good, basically?
He was rusty. I wouldn't say, even though he didn't give up runs, I would say he was rusty. But the one thing that he said after the game was that he felt like whatever work he has done during the offseason throwing more, he's starting to see the differences in spring training already, even on the backfield. So that's the good news because – look, Walker Buehler is going to be ready when it's money time, whether that's going up against another really good starting pitcher, whether it's pitching a great game in game 163 or in the World Series, he's going to be there. But he's trying to get better at being a better pitcher out of the gate when opening day starts. So that's a sign of maturity that he decided to throw more during the offseason to get himself ready for spring training. Because Trevor Bauer is ready for spring training. He's just trying to build up his pitch count. And Walker Buehler now and is entering his, third full season, I guess you could call it. He's maturing and learning how to get his body ready.
Yeah, it feels that way, right? I mean, the word is he hit triple digits yesterday, right? And normally that would come
later. That was Dustin May.
Was that Dustin May? I thought it was Walker Buehler hit that. But still, the form and as you grow in maturity, as you say, kind of your approach to spring training becomes a lot different. Hey, Dave, do you are we still going by your belief that if Clayton is healthy, he is the opening day starter?
Yeah, I tried to do the math counting backwards on the calendar, and it looks like if he does start on Friday, which I feel like he will, it's set up for him to be the opening day starter. So, yeah, I feel like it's a ceremonial start, and he deserves that if he's healthy. And it seems like he is. He threw an aggressive bullpen session yesterday, which also leads me to believe he's going to start Friday night, which will be carried here on AM 570 LA Sports. But if he does start on Friday, then it all seems to add up to him being the opening day starter.
Yeah, because, Dave, there was some concern. Is he healthy? How healthy is he? Is he ready? From what Dave Roberts is saying, everything is fine, right? They're just trying to maybe back it up so we'll start opening day.
Yeah, the reason why I asked that yesterday, Fred, was because after his bullpen session, I hung around the backfields a little bit, and Andrew Friedman, Mark Pryor, Dave Roberts, and Clayton Kershaw were having an extended meeting close to 30 minutes after his bullpen session. I didn't see anything that would say there's anything wrong with Clayton, but it's unusual to have that type of discussion for that long after a bullpen session. But maybe they were trying to dissect things, but Dave Roberts said he's physically sound, and he even said it's better than a year ago at this time. So you have to take the manager at his word.
Yeah, you do. Gavin Lux off to a good start. Do you think them being, I guess, humbled a little bit over the last year or so is helping him going into this spring training?
You know what? When I talked to him on the pregame show, Rodney, he told me that he went back to Wisconsin after the season to be back with family and friends, and he needed to clear his head because it was a rough 2020 for him. Not only coming back late to summer camp, but even spring training, he was not himself. So, yeah, I would say a little humble pie there to remind him that whatever he did in the minor leagues 2 years ago doesn't matter now. And he came back from Wisconsin, was able to work out at Dodger Stadium with Dino Ebel on his throwing at second base, worked on his swing with Rob Van Soyak, one of the Dodger hitting coaches at Dodger Stadium. And from what I've seen so far in camp, he's as confident as he was in 2019, and he resembles the player that won the Minor League Player of the Year 2 years ago. So, yeah, I would say Gavin Lux has reset, and he looks better than I've seen him in any of the spring trainings that he has been here in big league camp.
Yesterday I asked you about DJ Peters. Then apparently you spotted him taking some ground balls at first base. Does he think that's his way to finally force his way onto the roster, if that's even possible?
It can't hurt. I actually spotted him taking ground balls and fielding at first base last year when I was in Texas in between the NLCS and the World Series during one of the workouts. He was taking balls at first base, taking throws at first base. So I feel like he's just trying to make himself more versatile, because the Dodger outfield right now is somewhat crowded, even though I think it's a little thinner than what it was a year ago. He knows the Dodgers like versatility, and it can only help his chances if he cuts down on his strikeouts and also is able to play first base.
Dave, we know about the Padres and what they did in the offseason. They're making a run. They're a good young team. Added some players and talent, and obviously the Dodgers. But the rest of the West, is it just the Padres and the Dodgers and the minor leaguers?
I wouldn't say minor leaguers, but, yeah, it's the Dodgers and Padres and then everybody else. I don't believe there's any team in the division that is going to exceed 500. And if they do, I would be surprised, and it probably would be the Diamondbacks. But that's kind of how it is in every division outside of the NL East. You look at the Central, 85 wins that division for me. And in the NL East, you got three teams. You got the Mets, you got the Nationals, you got the Braves, and the Marlins are pretty good too. So really, the NL East is the best division top to bottom in the National League, if you want to look at it that way. But the two best teams are the Dodgers and Padres.
Julio Urías tonight?
Yes, making his first spring start, and it'll be great to see him on the mound. And, you know, I know the Dodgers don't want to commit to too many things in spring training, but Julio Urias is going to make 25 starts for the Dodgers this season if he's healthy. I don't know why there is still some question about it. Maybe I've spoken to people that others haven't, but all indications are that he is going to be in the rotation. Now, 1,500 innings you have to cover in 162 games. So there are going to be times where they probably do manage innings for Julio, considering he hasn't had the major jump yet. That doesn't mean he's not in the rotation, but they are going to manage his innings by maybe skipping starts, maybe giving him a breather. He may not like that, but that's the reality of how they're going to manage it to keep him fresh for October.
4:30 pregame show with Dave here on the station, Dodgers and Reds tonight at 5. Dave, thanks for jumping on.
All right, guys, thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Where it is my mind, I be in my feeling. Every single person in my life, tell me I'm the hero. But when it's up and then go down, it's me.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, on a hump day, a Wednesday. A 440, as Fred would call it. Short show, 2 hours a day. It's all good. We got spring training, we got Clipper basketball, we got everything going on right now, Fred.
Sure do.
An abundance of riches.
Yes, we do. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at AM570 LA Sports. Get breaking news and stories first, and see and hear exclusive interviews from Dodger spring training in Arizona with Dodger insider David Vassay. AM570 LA Sports, your home of the world champion Dodgers. World champion Lakers are in Sacramento tonight. Let's bring on our insider, Bill Oram. And Bill, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. LeBron said no mas. He tapped out of this one. No big deal, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I think you could probably turn it into something if you really wanted to, but I'm not that spun up about it. But I mean, you know, the guy has spent all year saying that, you know, he's not going to rest, and if he's healthy, he's going to play, and that his most important, you know, what's most important to him is being available for his teammates. And here we are in a situation where the Lakers are shorthanded, no Marc Gasol due to health and safety protocols, no Anthony Davis. You know, LeBron's been the only guy really keeping this team afloat. And, you know, he's not going to be here for this one. But look, there's an All-Star game on Sunday that he doesn't want to play in. But, you know, he's obligated to appear in. You know, you've got the second half of the season to think about. A lot of us, I think, have been kind of beating the drum for LeBron to take a step back all year, you know, take off the second night of a back-to-back. And so he's finally doing it. And, you know, it's probably to everyone's benefit, even though, I mean, this could be a really ugly game tonight. I mean, the Lakers are shorthanded, the Kings are shorthanded, and the Kings aren't very good to begin with. This is going to be a really interesting matchup and could be a huge THT game, to be honest.
Yeah, let's see. Now there's speculation you know, you got to give a medical reason, I guess, and there's some ankle sprain. There's nothing really going on with LeBron in terms of injury, soreness, or anything like that, right?
I mean, not that we know of that there would be anything new. I mean, this sure sounds like a planned rest given the circumstances of this week. And, you know, he's been dealing with, I mean, you quote unquote dealing with, but he's been on the injury report with a sprained left ankle since opening night. You know, he hurt his ankle against the Clippers way back on December 22nd, if you remember. And he's been on the injury report with that all year long. Always is probable or questionable. And, you know, he's played through it. So we've got about 9 days between games for the Lakers here. He's got to go to Atlanta and play in the All-Star game. But otherwise, you know, use that time to rest up and be well for the second half of the season and a deep postseason run.
Well, Well, the good news, I guess, if your glass is half full, with him not playing tonight, that'll give guys a chance to get up more shots, and God knows they need practice shooting, so it might work out in their favor.
Well, I mean, I suppose there's that, but who's going to pass them the ball?
Don't make problems. Don't create problems.
No, I mean, you're right, and, you know, this is kind of your classic last game before the All-Star break sort of situation. The Lakers are, you know, pretty well established as a top half of the West team, even with their, you know, their current issues and their losses of late. They've lost 6 of their last 9 games. But this is an opportunity for some of those guys to go out and get buckets, maybe get, you know, a little bit of, you know, positive rhythm going into the break. But I mean, you know, the real work to be done will be after the All-Star break when this team reconvenes and we see, you know, kind of them prepare for the stretch run of the season and kind of really start to focus in on seeding, hopefully get Anthony Davis back within a week of the All-Star game or so and kind of get serious. But to me, this is one of those games you just get through. Make sure you get through it relatively healthy, at least don't incur any new injuries and get home and then, you know, go on your All-Star break, wherever that may be, and come back in a week refreshed.
Hey, Bill, what kind of All-Star weekend do you think this is going to be when you've got a majority of the players don't really want to be there and be a part of it, and especially like in a guy like LeBron's case or even some of the other guys around the league that just want to take this time to really have time off and really rest, not only physically but also mentally?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of why the Lakers baked in an extra night off for LeBron, just to give him a little more time. But I think, you know, it's going to be a very truncated All-Star weekend, right? It's an All-Star day. Everything's happening kind of around the game on Sunday in Atlanta. Players will be in and out. You know, you're not going to have the parties and the schmoozing and the events away from the arena like you're accustomed to having in an All-Star weekend. I mean, this is truly a made-for-TV sort of event. You know, it's not going to be the place to, you know, see and be seen like you're used to at an All-Star game where you've got celebrities, you know, coming out of every nook and cranny of the arena. You know, this is definitely going to be a made-for-TV event. But, you know, I think you're going to have, you know, kind of a standard All-Star game. I don't expect, you know, great competition between the teams. But I do think, you know, once you get guys out there, like LeBron James, I think, you know, you'll see LeBron's juices get flowing early on. I think you'll see the highlight plays. Maybe you see him go for an All-Star MVP. That sort of thing. I mean, I think once guys are on the court and together, they will embrace it like a normal All-Star game. But, you know, I reported yesterday that Alex Caruso declined an invitation to participate in the slam dunk contest. You know, he was not alone. A lot of guys also declined because it's such a shortened experience. You know, there's a truncated format. You know, they're only having a few guys participate. You know, you can't bring as many guests. You're in and out. It's, you know, already been a tough season, you know, in terms of, you know, the timeline and testing and all of that. And this is the one chance to get away. If you don't have to be there, if you're not selected as an All-Star, you know, I think for a lot of guys, it just made more sense to pass on being part of kind of some of those ancillary events.
Hey, Bill, something I talked about in the first hour, and I don't know, now it's kind of bugging me. A lot of whining going on. I mean, LeBron, the king, obviously, up on his throne, he whines an awful lot. Caruso whines an awful lot. Does that matter? Is that a good look for the Lakers? I mean, it seems like it's a bit annoying now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think, you know, LeBron has made it clear over the years that he doesn't think he gets, you know, fair treatment, or at least, you know, intermittently. You know, there's, you'll have games where he's not getting a fair whistle. And last night was one of those games, you know, where he was upset. Alex Caruso got hit in the face last night, you know, pretty hard. So, I mean, he had a reason to be upset. But last night especially was a pretty tense game where you had a really physical matchup with the Suns, a lot of hard fouls. You had 3 fouls reviewed for flagrants, a lot of frustration. Devin Booker got thrown out. You know, in general, I think, you know, you're right. LeBron is a, you know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve and goes at, you know, officials, you know, whether he's called for a foul, not called for a foul, thinks he was fouled. You know, but that's kind of become part of his game at this point. And I don't think, it certainly hasn't diminished from his greatness, because we sit here and talk about him being one of the greatest of all time. So, you know, I don't know.
Bill, anytime you have a superstar and a key component to your team like Anthony Davis out and you're kind of figuring out how you're going to bring him back, are there any concerns that in terms of timing to get him back in enough time before the playoffs start to make sure they get their chemistry back like they had before he went out?
Well, you know, he will have been out about a month, maybe, you know, 4.5 weeks when he comes back, assuming they stick to the timeline. You know, I guess I wouldn't be too worried about the chemistry and kind of just the balance of the floor, because this team is so used to playing with him. You know, they've got a season and a half under their belt with him, so I feel like he'll fit back in and reintegrate pretty smoothly. But, I mean, yeah, there is always that concern that, you know, the pieces get too comfortable when a player is out. But, I mean, look around. I mean, the Lakers are not comfortable right now. They are not just, you know, playing like a team that doesn't need Anthony Davis. I mean, there is an Anthony Davis-shaped hole in what's going on with them. I mean, they miss his defense. They miss the ability to run offense through him in the high post. I mean, it's just been, you know, it's been very evident that Anthony Davis's absence has been huge for the Lakers during this stretch. So, you know, I think they will be able to reintegrate him smoothly. But to your point, you know, he's going to come back in mid to late March. I mean, if the timeline Frank Vogel gave, you know, was precise, he would be back on March 18th. I think it's against Charlotte. And, you know, that gives you two months before the start of the playoffs. That'd be like coming back, you know, in February in a normal season. And that gives you plenty of runway before the playoffs. I mean, I think the concern would be if they keep, you know, pushing that timeline back, if he had kind of recurring issues or aggravations and things like that, and then you start trying to bring him back in, let's say, you know, May, then I think that you'd be on something and there'd be some concern about not wanting him to be rusty before the playoffs. But as it is now, with the timeline we've been given, I think everything's, you know, shaping up for the Lakers to be fine and kind of back to normal by the end of the month.
Okay, Bill, and the reports, and obviously everybody speculated on this, but the reports that the Lakers are indeed looking for another big, who might that big be?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on what price tag you're looking at, because, you know, Andre Drummond is the most popular name out there. He played like an all-star before the Cavs shut him down. He was putting up huge numbers in Cleveland and kind of looking like, you know, his former self in Detroit. That would be a tremendous get for the Lakers, but they would really only be able to compete for his services on the buyout market if Cleveland ends up buying him out as opposed to a trade. If there was a buyout, you'd have a hard time seeing the Lakers not being at the front of the line for him. But, you know, there's also smaller, you know, caliber type guys you could bring in, whether it's, you know, JaVale McGee. That's a little complicated. He'd have to be traded out of Cleveland first and then waived by another team before the Lakers could sign him. But, you know, that sort of guy makes a ton of sense for the Lakers. And there's obviously a familiarity there. You know, Hassan Whiteside with the Kings is a name I've been kind of throwing out all year, not to be your starter, not to replace Marc Gasol, but maybe as a guy who, you know, gives you a little more depth and can be a little more matchup dependent as a rim protector and fill that role that you had with JaVale last year. And listen, Damian Jones, you know, despite being on a 10-day contract and having kind of almost been, you know, kind of played his way out of the league and waived by three teams, we're dealing with an incredibly small sample size, so let's not get carried away. But he has looked pretty good in the two games he's played with for the Lakers. Now, very, very limited minutes. But if we're talking about signing a 7-footer to sit on the deep bench and come in, you know, in very specific situations, you know, so far, I mean, Damian Jones has shown me that he might be able to do that. So maybe the answer is right under their nose. But it's a different conversation if we're talking about someone like Andre Drummond.
Okay, and I was wondering, Bill, this just hit me while you were talking about, you know, getting a 7-footer, getting another big. Montrezl Harrell didn't play much last night. Did they think he was a defensive liability?
Yeah, I mean, and this is becoming a trend, and I would point you guys to a story that my colleague Jovan Buha wrote just today about why Frank Vogel seems to be losing trust in Montrezl Harrell down the stretch of games. And the reality is that defensively, you know, he's a guy who will try hard, but he's not big enough to defend your bigger centers in the league, and he's not quick enough to stay on the floor when other teams go small. And so, you know, I mean, listen, he's the sixth man of the year. I mean, he's, you know, an incredible, you know, has an incredible motor, but especially when you don't have Anthony Davis there to kind of protect him defensively, you run into a lot of issues with Montrezl Harrell's defense. And that's what you've seen kind of over this stretch where, you know, they've closed games with Markieff Morris. They've brought Marc Gasol back in to close games. But now you're dealing with a situation where you don't have Marc Gasol, you don't have Anthony Davis, and you can't really, the only way to really protect Montrezl Harrell on the court is to not have him on the court. And that's what you've been seeing. So I do think that that's going to be something to monitor going forward, where you have a guy who is, you know, obviously tremendously valuable offensively, you know, great on the glass, you know, the king of the putback, and he's been great for the Lakers in that role. But defensively, you know, you're seeing a pretty big liability. And the only thing I'd say about that is it wasn't a huge glaring problem for the Lakers until they lost Anthony Davis to this injury. So if Anthony Davis is healthy, if Marc Gasol is healthy, then I think Frank Vogel has enough options to build the right defense for a given situation. But as it is right now, where Montrez and Markieff are basically your only options, it's almost impossible not to go with Markieff down the stretch.
Okay. Bill, thank you. As always, great information, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.